Hello there. Welcome to another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. Obviously, I am not Ankeny Fanatic publisher Dan Holm. I'm Jared Stansberry. I'm the staff writer for CycloneFanatic.com. Usually, I produce the podcast, but Dan is sick this week. It's pushed me into the lead chair. As always, the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Iowa Realty's Ankeny office, located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, Suite 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Our first guest on the podcast this week is Ankeny Athletic Director Brent Butcher. How's it going?
Good, Jared. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm sure you're ready for a busy week.
It's been a busy week. It's been a busy month, but we're excited about the week and getting kids back into school here tomorrow. And of course, we've had some contests already this week and looking forward to the big game on Friday.
I know that you told Dan a couple weeks ago that you're going to try and get off the grid. Were you able to get off the grid?
I did. And for me, it's my wife gives me a hard time about this all the time. But for me, getting off the grid was spending a full week down at Principal Park watching state baseball and mm-hmm. took in about 15 games and just pulled a Bob Uecker and sat in the cheap seats and had some fun by myself.
Can't complain about that. You can never complain about that for sure.
Right.
Like you mentioned, obviously the big football game Friday night between Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial. Do you like opening the season with that big rivalry game, or would you rather play it later on in the year?
You know, we don't mind opening up with Ankeny Centennial. I think the hard part, and if you ask any activities director of this, having your week one game at home always presents some challenges, but just with the start of school and trying to make sure you've got everything in line and your checklist is taken care of, it's tough to play a week one game, but we're excited to host a week one game, and certainly a game of this magnitude for the city of Ankeny is always exciting to host.
Last year, I know Ankeny Stadium went under some big changes, including moving the home bleachers over to the west side. What can fans expect to when they get out there Friday night? I know they were completed midway through last year. And are there any other additional changes that have been made to the stadium?
Yeah, and that was a little bit of an inconvenience for our fans, especially our visiting fans last year when we had to put our bleachers on the track. We made it work, and certainly with the help of a lot of our folks at the district level. But we got our brand new west side bleachers opened up. You've got a brand new press box on top of that, which is going to be nice for our media, nice for our home coaches, and certainly for our event personnel. I think the biggest thing that our people are gonna see, and they, like you said, they did experience a little bit of the last two or three games of the season. Anytime you can upgrade your restrooms, mm-hmm. you've done something well. And those restrooms that have been being used for many, many years certainly weren't getting the job done. So we've got multiple restroom facilities over on that south and west corner now. With a brand new concession stand. It's a very large concession stand that'll be able to hopefully serve our customers much more efficiently. Our Ankeny Booster Club does a great job of taking care of that for us. And I know they're excited about getting the season kicked off. And I think their biggest concern is making sure they don't run out of water. So that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, I covered high school football for about 5 years, just going around to different places throughout the state. And that's one of the big things. Like if you've got nice restrooms and you've got a good concession stand, no matter what the product on the field looks like, I think people more often than not are going to go home pretty happy.
Yeah. And that's one thing we take a lot of pride in Ankeny, is making sure that it's an experience, you need to provide some of those amenities that are going to get people to come back. And I think, the increase in the number of seats on the west side, and of course you've got a large section on the east side as well, so we'll be able to fairly easily put 7,000 to 8,000 people in the stands right now, and probably even a few more to sit comfortably, and a place for our band to sit in the stands. And it's a great environment. We're really excited about the phase two and phase three of that project as well.
I know something that we're really excited about at Ankeny Fanatic is the partnership between the two Ankeny schools, the Central Iowa Sports Network and our site, that will allow the home football games to be streamed live on our website this year. How do you think that partnership will benefit the schools the most?
Yeah, I'm really excited about that as well. And I think the piece that excites us the most is the ability to reach out and connect with alumni and grandparents and those individuals that are outside of the state. You know, I think one of our biggest concerns, you know, as ADs a lot of times is losing losing revenue at the gate due to on stream or live streaming type of capabilities. And we're fairly convinced that that's not going to be the case here in Ankeny. Our people will still show up and support both the Hawks and the Jaguars, but it will allow us to reach out to alumni across the world and grandparents and relatives and family members of our student athletes all across the world as well.
Let's talk a little bit about the product actually on the field for the Hawks this year. Dan was out at Friday scrimmage against Valley, and he said it was pretty easy to see that there's several underclassmen who are going to play key roles for the Hawks this season. You must be excited about the future of the program, and not just for this year, but you know, moving on into the future as well.
Yeah, you know, our guys have put in a tremendous amount of time. You know, be honest with you, ever since the season ended last year, you know, getting refocused, and I know that the results weren't quite what they wanted, but at the same point in time, the burning desire is still there. So their off-season weight room work and speed development work was outstanding. They had a really good summer, attended a couple camps, were able to put themselves or have put themselves in position to be successful here in the off-season during the season. And you know, with that being said, yeah, there is youth there, you know, and we're excited about our youth. We're excited about our leadership out of our seniors as well, and those kids have to understand that this is their team, but there's some material down below that will be able to fill some key roles for us, and we'll look forward to watching those kids play the next 3 years.
A couple of those younger kids, sophomore Kale Boyd and Brody Brecht, also made an impact for the track and baseball teams as freshmen. As the athletic director, do you encourage your athletes to play as many sports as possible?
Yeah, we do. You know, we have a multi-sport philosophy, as most schools do. And what we try to tell kids, because I tell you, being a multi-sport athlete today is much different than what it was, you know, even 10 years ago when it comes to the off-season preparation. So, yeah, we do. And you know, there's also conversations that we have to have with coaches and have them understand that, you know, if Brody's, you know, Brody and Kale are playing baseball for us, what's that going to look like for football? And how do we continue to drive them into the weight room? Because our bullseye is still the athletic enhancement program, the strength and conditioning program. And if we can make that our bullseye and then work out from there, we believe that we can continue to service each other's sports and with multiple sport type kids and those kids. And the other piece too is that group loves to play everything. I mean, they whatever season it is the sport they love.
Talking about some of the other fall sports teams as well. Your volleyball team enters the year number 6 in the Class 5A preseason rankings. Coach Morton says his team is a little undersized, but there's still a lot of talent there, isn't there?
There is. And, you know, they got tripped up a little bit last night. They dropped a close one to Waukee, 3-2, after leading the first two games of the night. And you know, I think that it just came down to, you know, whoever's going to make the fewest mistakes. And that was what tip of the hat to Waukee last night for that. We have a good group of girls, great group of coaches. The program's in good shape. And certainly we have big expectations for those kids this year.
Your combined swim team is coming off a fourth place finish in last year's state meet, and they returned several state qualifiers, including two-time state champ Jasmine Runley.
Yep, Runley.
Yeah, you have to feel good about the strength of that program right now.
Yeah, and you know, we had a chance to open up that Trail Point aquatic facility last year. And in our partnership with that DMAC facility, and what an incredible facility that is for our kids to swim in and for our coaches to coach in. And when you add individuals like Jasmine, like you said, to the program along with many of her teammates, the very strong team, they should be set for a really, really good season and a nice run into the postseason play.
Now, because the swimming and bowling teams are shared with Centennial, how does that work with Centennial's athletic director, Scott Jarvis? Do you kind of split the duties of overseeing those programs?
Yeah, and what happens is, and Tom Kinseth and I started, Tom, the previous athletic director, activities director at Centennial, took most of the swimming responsibilities and kind of managed that program where I took bowling. So that's how we kind of split it. We both manage different events. We kind of break it out. So the Centennial AD gets a few, Scott Jarvis, and I'll take a few, and we both try to work the any regional or district type events with the boys. I take the bowling, and Scott will take most of the swimming.
Before coming to Ankeny, you served as the athletic director at Fort Madison, and before that you spent 15 years at North Scott, where you coached baseball and football. Do you ever miss those coaching days?
Oh yeah. You know, I don't know if you miss the daily grind, although I do miss the preparation piece. But you know, when it's 95 degrees out and I had to throw batting practice, I don't miss those days a whole lot. I don't know if I could throw batting practice anymore, as the shoulder's a little bit fried, but you miss the contact with the kids. I guess what I try to do is get out and be present and be a good roving leader and let the kids know that I'm interested in what they're doing, and let our coaches know that I'm interested in what we're doing. There's days, you know, I miss putting on the headset. I actually felt pretty good to put this headset on because I miss those days. When it comes to coaching, but it's a different time in my life and certainly one that I'm very thankful for and one that I look forward to every day.
I was going to say my follow-up question was going to be that the hours can't be much different from being an athletic director to being a coach.
Yeah. And actually, to be honest with you, when you're an activities director, it's like you're the head coach of 19 different programs, for the most part. But our coaches put in a tremendous amount of time during the season and also out of season. Being an activities director, I'm very thankful that I've got a very understanding wife and one that can get by on her own, most of the time. Because there's a lot of long days, when it's 7 o'clock in the morning to sometimes 10 o'clock at night, 3 or 4, sometimes 5 days a week, all day tournaments. It can be a little bit of a distraction with the family life. But it comes down to the quality of the time spent versus the quantity of the time spent. And I've got a very understanding family when it comes to that.
Speaking of coaches, I know you currently have a couple of coaching openings that you'll have to fill for girls track and girls soccer. Is that one of the more demanding parts of your job, trying to identify coaches, hire good coaches that are going to fit at Ankeny?
Yeah, I would say it's both demanding and also it's very, very important. It's probably the defining piece for us, is to make sure that you get good people hired and you can retain them. We've got some big positions to get filled. You had a few assistant positions to get taken care of here. But the other piece too is that we're replacing some individuals, especially we'll talk about, and I know you had Coach Adamson on, I think it was a couple weeks ago, I believe, on podcast. And a guy who's been around for 35 plus years in that sport. Those type of coaches are harder to find. You just don't see as many coaches staying in the profession as long as he did, but there's some good ones out there, and that's our job is to find good coaches and to get them on board and then keep them.
Is there anything else that's going around with Ankeny Sports right now that you want to mention?
I would just throw out a shout out to our marching band and Jennifer Williams and Joel Poppin are doing an incredible job directing nearly 250 students in that program right now. That's a program that when we split, 5 short years ago, there were only 80 members of that marching band, and now they're going to roll out 250 this year. So plug them. Our cheer and dance are doing an incredible job of coming together and forming a true spirit squad. There's a lot of participation that's taking place. We had an opportunity to kick off our fall sports, week ago tomorrow, and I had in my notes, that we were going to recognize 500 or so participants for our fall programs, and we ended up counting them, and they were close to 700. So
wow.
I was a little off on my numbers there, but that's a good feeling when you can, say that you're a school of 1,300, 1,350, whatever it's going to be here this year, and of those, 700 of them are fall participants, and that's pretty exciting when you're an activities director.
Yeah, for sure. That's pretty crazy. The high school I went to had 250 kids total.
So. Small school.
Yeah. Yeah. Brent, thanks for joining us today. Looking forward to Friday night, and hopefully the game goes well.
I appreciate it, Jared. And thanks to Ankeny Fanatic. Ankeny Fanatic has been a great addition to our community, and Dan does a great job of covering not just the major sports, but also the minor sports. So we want to thank Dan and the Ankeny Fanatic for that. It means a lot. It's important to our kids. It's important to our coaches. It's important to our parents. And it's important to our community. And certainly our business partners in the community we'd like to thank as well. You can't do what we do without the support that they gave us financially. And it's a great place to be and real excited. So thanks for the opportunity to come out here today and speak with you. Go
yep.
Hawks.
Yep. Thanks for joining me.
You bet.
Welcome back to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast presented by the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty, joined now by Brian Claude. Brian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. So you're going to tell us a little bit about Happy Homes.
Yes. So obviously Happy Homes is a builder here in the area. In which that we, our mission is to essentially build the quality home at an affordable price.
So if someone wants to get into one of these homes or if they want to get a showing or something like that, who would they contact?
So we have a team of realtors in which that you can contact depending on the area. Or obviously our website too, happyhomes.com, is a good way to reach out to any of us to be able to get in to see a property or ask some questions or see kind of what we have coming down the pipeline. It's also a good place for any prospective buyers to get on to see some of our open houses on Sundays and when those are available and where. And then obviously Sunday bopping around, and we'd love to have you come out and chat a little bit more about Happy Homes and the process and how we can hopefully help you find a home of your choice.
How long have you been doing this?
So I've been in real estate a little over 3 years. Been with Happy Homes here now for about 2 years.
For sure. What do you think it is that makes you guys unique maybe from other people?
Yeah, so the thing that probably separates us the most from anybody else is that we do a high amount of volume, and so with that becomes affordable pricing. But one thing that then makes us different is that we have the ability to do more on the custom side. And so we have a team of designers and people in place in which that allow us to start with a floor plan or we've had as much as drawings come in on napkins in which that we can go ahead and take, and from the ground up we can build people's dream homes and make adjustments and changes. And again, going back to the amount of volume that we're able to do, it allows us to do it at an affordable price.
Awesome. So one more time, can you just tell us again, best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, so there's a couple different ways. Obviously our Facebook page is a good way, as well as happyhomes.com. You can contact us through that and we'd love to talk with you.
Awesome, thanks Brian.
All right, thank you.
Joined now on the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast presented by the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty by defending state cross country champion for Ankeny High School, Tim Sint. How's it going, Tim?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. You had your first race of the season last Tuesday at the Centennial Invitational. Were you happy with your performance and the team's performance as well?
Yeah, I was really happy with my performance. I just wanted to improve on my time from last year, and I did that, so I'm happy with that. And then our team also improved a lot. I think our top seven from Tuesday was faster than our third guy was last year. So we improved a lot as a team as well.
You were ranked number one in Class 4A preseason rankings after winning the state title last fall. Do you feel like you kind of have a big target on your back now going into this year?
Yeah, I feel like everyone's kind of watching me, and like I'm like the gold for them to like chase and try and beat. So
your team is ranked 12th after placing 12th at last year's state meet, but you probably feel like your team has the potential to be even better than that this year, don't you?
Definitely. I think both us and Centennial should be in the top 10 for sure this year. I think we can work our way up to top 5 by the end of the year.
You have stated that you have a pretty ambitious goal of for this season. You want to go undefeated, defend your title, and your ultimate goal is to break the all-time Iowa record of 15 minutes and 2 seconds for the 5K distance. Your current personal best is 15:13. So do you think it will take a perfect conditions to break that record?
I'm not sure if it'll take perfect conditions. I mean, last year when I ran the 15:13, it was raining and the course was wet. So I think I can do it just as long as I'm having a good day.
Have you ever ran that before and just practiced or anything like that?
No.
You've obviously talked about racing against the clock, and it always helps to have some competition when you do that. Do you think you'll have some challenges this year or from the pack, or do you think that there's going to be is it going to be you running by yourself a lot?
I think there'll be a good pack of people pushing me to run the best that I can do. I think a lot of the sophomores who did well last year will make big improvements as juniors. And I think a lot of juniors from last year are going to improve as well.
Let's talk about your evolution as a runner a little bit. Back when you were a sophomore, you had a front runner or a front running style where you pushed the pace and as hard as you could, maybe too hard sometimes, and you weren't able to always have a strong finish. When did you realize that maybe you had to change that strategy?
I think last year when I decided that I really wanted to be top three, I had to look more into racing strategy and how to actually like win and race smart so that I could kind of beat anybody.
For a long time, you had a trouble beating your crosstown rival, Cannon Cox of Centennial, but then you started to beat him consistently last fall. Did that help to give you some more confidence that you could contend for a state title after being able to get over that hump?
Yeah, that for sure gave me a lot of confidence. Me and Camden always kind of worked together, and we did some workouts together in the off seasons. But yeah, we always kind of pushed and motivated each other.
Take me through that state meet race. I'm sure you have relived it a bunch of times already. Did the race go pretty much according to the plan for you?
I was expecting Matt Carmody to push the pace a little more. I ended up being kind of the leader for the majority of the race. So,
do you give Coach Lindemann a lot of your credit for your success?
Definitely. I give our entire coaching staff. They do a great job with motivation and mental prep and also coming up with a great workout plan.
You survived a scare in the offseason when you were diagnosed with Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome, a condition where an extra electrical pathway causes an irregular rapid heartbeat. When did you first realize that something was probably wrong?
In December when I started training again to get ready for track season. Like stuff like my body just wasn't feeling right while I was running, and so I like told my mom and I was like, hey, like I'm losing my vision, getting kind of shaky after my runs. I think I need to go to the doctor. And then they kind of figured stuff out from there.
You had surgery to correct the problem and return to the track team last spring. You went on to place third in the 3200 and second in the 1600 at the state track meet. Overall, were you happy with your track season last year?
Yeah, I was happy with my season by the end of the year. I think if I hadn't needed the surgery, I think I probably could have done better at state and Drake, but I'm happy with where I ended considering the circumstances.
Your final race against Camden Cox came in the 1600, where he came from behind to win his first state title. Now that he's graduated, are you going to miss competing against him?
Oh, definitely. Even Tuesday, like at that Centennial meet, it was weird to run all by myself, not have him pushing me.
How did your summer go? Did you put in a lot of miles, and did you have an opportunity to do anything else besides run?
Yeah, I ran a lot. I went to a couple cross-country camps in Kansas and Wisconsin. I had a lot of fun. I got up to about 55 miles a week, and I'm going to keep building the first part of the season, get up to about 60, 65.
Let's talk about your future a little bit. Where are you at in your recruiting, and do you think you're getting close to making a decision?
Yeah, I have a few college visits or official visits lined up for September, and I want to make my decision by the November signing period.
Where do you want to say where you're going to take official visits? Or?
I'm planning on taking official visits to Iowa State, Iowa, and Wisconsin.
Cool. What do you think will have to be, or what do you think will be your best distance at the collegiate level?
I think probably 5K will be my best distance.
For sure. Cool. Well, Tim, thanks for joining us on this week's podcast, and good luck with the rest of your season.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on this week's Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast is sponsored by the Iowa Realty Ankeny office, located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, Suite 103. The Ankeny office will close in excess of $250 million in real estate in 2018. Their agents represent over 20 new construction builders and communities all over the metro. With interest rates at a historic low, would you like to know what your home is worth in today's market? If so, give them a call at 453-5800. For Dan Holm and everybody at Ankeny Fanatic, hopefully Dan will be feeling better and back again next week. I'm Jared Stansberry, signing off. Thanks for listening.